Blog Talk Radio.
Been watching the filibuster by Ted Cruz? I thought there at first when he first started up, he said some things that would have hit home amongst everybody, regardless of political affiliation.
I've been watching.
He was talking about the government is refusing to listen to the people, whether they be a Democrat or a Republican. They refuse to listen to the people. And I think that hit home on many levels. Go ahead, Chad. You're saying something.
Yes, I was watching the same thing, and he's hitting. I like him. I'd like him to be the governor or the
president.
President, yeah.
You're seeing it. It's all across Facebook. It's all across the net everywhere. Cruz has just
dominating.
He's just jumped into everybody's eyes here with the things he is saying.
Because he speaks the truth.
And a kudos to those who are standing up there with him, the Rand Paul, even Marco Rubio, who just, you know, he's got to make a comeback for his amnesty stand. But then there was a guy from Kansas and Jeff Sessions. These men all understand what it's about. And I think many Americans are understanding what it's about. It's awful funny that they want to force something on us that they themselves won't take.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you something. You know, when I was a supervisor, I never asked my men to do something I couldn't do myself. And what I see is a government right now that thinks it's above that kind of a decision.
They're for everything.
They can just do everything regardless. But there ain't a one of them that can live under their own guidelines. They make laws, but yet somehow these same laws they're passing don't affect them. And that's wrong. Will they get the Obamacare defunded? I don't know.
I hope.
But it's better to have tried than not to have done nothing at all. And that's how I'm looking at it. We have a call in. Anybody wants to call in? We're open tonight. Like I said, there's so much going on. The UN, tomorrow John Kerry is supposed to sign on to a arms treaty at the UN.
I heard about that.
And I had an article on my page and found out after I grabbed it that I couldn't share it. I couldn't copy it. I couldn't do anything with it. It was just there, and I had to tell people to go to my page on Facebook to look at it. I think Linda saw it. And it's about the gun bill and how they're doing it, and they laid out steps. And I can tell you, many of those steps have already been brought into place by the legislative bodies in some states and in our Congress. You have a president threatening and going out here, and instead of talking about the sadness of people getting killed, he pushes for gun law, makes it political. And at the same time, I find that odd because as he's trying to disarm us, the sucker is arming every enemy we got in the world, everywhere in the world.
To fight us.
Yeah. That's what will end up happening. It's like Fast and Furious. He arms the drug cartels.
Yeah.
He gives money to the Muslim Brotherhood in many faces.
That's what I don't understand. How are we giving money to the Muslim Brotherhood? I mean, that's our enemies. That's who attacked us. Why would we be out there doing that?
Well, I've never understood all this. I guess he's trying to buy them all. How's that working?
That's not working too good.
And I don't understand many of the things he does because they go against the antithesis of what everything I was ever taught growing up. I couldn't go to school today because what they're teaching in the school books would make my head explode.
Oh, I know. I have to check my kids' work. You know, I want to see what they're getting taught. So far, our school's been doing pretty good. They're still going by what it's supposed to be, Christian values.
Cal Living says, martial law will be right for the picking. Well, I got this to say about that. There's a part in the Bible that says, those who lose their life, the name of the Lord, shall that same day see glory in heaven. And if it comes to it, I'm willing to take that route.
I want them days to be wonderful.
Because I won't give up. I wasn't raised to quit. I wasn't raised and taught to back up.
No.
But I was taught, raised to have respect.
Respect.
I was raised to honor those that deserve honor.
That's what's
important. I was raised to that God, my country, and everyone else. That's how it ranks. That's how it ranks.
Amen, brother.
And that's how I believe, and that's how it is. Ron says he's headed to Rome to be crucified. Well, many years ago, I wrote a thesis when I was in college about the United States being the new Rome, Ron. And I used, you know, if you look at D.C. and the columns and the architecture, and you look at how they've laid things out, they have a Senate, and then here we are, just like Rome, entitlements and immorality are leading to our destruction. Leading to our destruction.
You hit it right there.
When a kid can get arrested for playing with a toy air gun that has a significant orange tip on the circle on the end of it to let you know it's a toy, at home, because somebody complained, and now the school is going to use that against the little boy, we're 1984. We're in it.
Instead of going forwards, it looks like we're going backwards.
We're not going backwards. It's a theology that's been, oh my gosh, I couldn't give you, I don't know how many decades, centuries maybe, this has been into effect that somebody laid this evil plan out and plot, and they're pushing it. Antarctica reports the highest level of Arctic ice they've had in years, 35 years.
But they're still pushing climate.
And Al Gore is still out here screaming anybody who's against, who denounces global warming should be killed or whatever, you know.
That's just crazy.
All these people with their big investments in carbon exchanges, and they're pushing it for us. Obama's invested in carbon exchanges. Valerie Jarrett is invested in carbon exchanges.
It's control.
And there are Republicans that are invested in carbon exchanges, like Richard Lugar and some others. Look it up. Look who stands to make the profit off of this carbon tax and stuff they want to put in globally. It would be the carbon exchanges. And look who the big players are in those carbon exchanges. Look up the Chicago Carbon Exchange. It's now defunct, but you'll find an article in there or two. I suggest the one from Canada Free Press. And it explained to you why Obama was so supportive of the green energy movement and all these other things. Because he stands to make trillions of dollars of profit off of it. You heard me right. It will create the first trillionaires. Unless you count the Rothschilds. Anybody else got anything they want to go off on before I get into something else? That's just how we are out here. One of us gets to talking and the other sit and listen.
Sit and listen. I'll get that damn flag out of here. Japanese flag flying in America's soil. Give me a break.
They're flying the flag of jihad.
Oh, the jihad day.
On the day that the attack went on.
We can't say nothing.
Linda's right. She's evidently read about it. The Joyce Foundation, Joel Rogers, and the North Shore Bank. Look all that up. That'll open the eyes to why they are still pushing man-made global warming when all the evidence is coming and kicking their teeth out, proving it's a lie.
They still keep pushing it.
I agree.
Well, it was actually, do you know who invented the man-made global warming ideology?
Not right off.
Well, Lonnie will hate this, but there's a guy named Maurice Strong.
Okay.
Maurice Strong invented the man-made global warming ideology to build wealth and power. Al Gore was his puppet.
Yeah.
Do the history. Do the checking, Linda. Oh, yeah, he's a member of every club, Linda.
Who?
Maurice. He's involved with every three-letter organization out there worldwide he's involved in. The WHO, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission. He's involved with the UN. He's involved the Bilderbergs. I mean,
oh, wow.
he's involved.
Well, you hit the last one.
Truthfully, Maurice is a bigger player than Soros. He is a level above or two above Soros. I did a lot of research on him because sharing the same last name. And that's something, if we ever meet, I want to make him pay for.
Yeah.
It's like he's the evil of the family, and, well, I'm going to take up for the good.
That's right.
Common Core. Now, I don't have no kids in school at the moment. Chad has one or two. He's checking his books. He's got his wife checking those books.
Oh, yes.
A lot of these kids are all grown. So, you know, but I have grandkids and stuff, so I'm constantly on my daughter and her husband and my other kids and their, about their children, to be checking these books. But we live in southern Indiana here, and, you know, a lot of people would say we are hicks. No, we're just a little more laid back. We're not in such a big rush, and the majority of us aren't really greedy. We want to be comfortable, but we don't need all the excesses and all those kinds of things. We can actually be content. We've won that through our lifetime, you know.
I'm content.
Be thankful for what you have.
Yep, I'm content.
And I do believe we have a caller, Linda.
Yes, that's me. Hi, guys.
Hi, Linda.
Good, you?
Yeah,
this is she. Yeah, it's a gorgeous day here in California.
Beautiful day here too.
Yeah, so I just had a lot of running around to do, and I had family over earlier, so I was like stressed for time and trying to get stuff done. So I've got twice as much to do tomorrow, but it's okay. We all fall short because we don't count our blessings, and we should. We should be happy with what we have. You can always strive for better. That's not a crime, you know. I think it's part of our nature that we would like to have a little bit more, you know. But when you talk about people like the Maurice Strongs, I mean, look, the guy was a Canadian oil magnate. That's where how he made his money in the beginning. So all these guys, look, they come from the same cloth. They all think that they are philosopher kings and that they know better, and they have these, to me, very, very nefarious, sick, twisted things in their minds that they want to do to us. They want to depopulate the earth, for Christ's sake. They want to rewild it. Everything in Agenda 21 screams of it. The stuff that you sent me just within the last 48 hours, I forwarded it on, especially that one 15-minute clip with Rosie Curie and the others in the mix. I sent it off to this guy who was actually at this party Saturday evening, running for office. He's trying to go up against ISA next time around. And I said, okay. And so when I talked to him and I asked him some questions, I said, where do you stand on immigration? Where do you stand on Agenda 21? He was thinking it was some stupid conspiracy theory. And so I said, oh, no, it's not. So I sent him everything I could. I said, where do you stand on Common Core? The man did not know what I was talking about. So I, believe me, when Barbara Decker sent her stuff on Facebook and the ones that I had, I definitely sent it off to him. I received an email back within a few hours, and he did thank me for the information. Now, what he does with it, I have no clue, but I'll get it to him.
That's what
it
is. You got to let people know that you sent him this information. He has it. And if the other people know what it is, and he's up there and he don't know what it is, let's get rid of him.
No, there's a comprehensive question,
which is the first step into Agenda 21. When I ask him, why would you sign on to the Jackson County Comprehensive Plan, which is the first step into Agenda 21? His answer was, what was my point?
Well, that's so frustrating.
I never had
well,
to respond because 150 Hoosiers responded for me.
Oh, yeah.
Good. But, you know, here's the thing. When we had our conversation, he let me speak too after I had, you know, I kept asking him questions. We had the dialogue back and forth. So by the time we were finished, he absolutely knew where I stood. on freedom, libertarianism. You know, I told him, I said, hey, if there was a party out there called the Jeffersonian Party, I'd be the head of it. So that's me. And I was holding a pocket constitution while I spoke to him. I mean, I was dead serious, but I was very polite. I didn't get crazy. You know, I was very even toned and everything else, but passionate, but, you know, did my best. So we'll see. Who knows? And I got a call from the mayor the next day because it was his fundraiser, and he thanked me for being the bartender. So that was really nice. Yeah, he's a really good guy. So anyway, that was my experience on Saturday. Oh, yeah.
I have a good relationship with any of the local politicians.
No.
But I do happen to have the most great amount of respect and admiration for the chief of police of Brownstown, because the young man that took that job has turned some things around. He has cut the budget. At the same time he cut the budget, he was able to hire another officer and pay for it while still cutting the budget.
Wow. Yeah, you know, there's a smattering of decent people.
Local country
boy.
We've
got to root them out, find them. We've got to find the good ones and support them, you know. And then we got to...
You know, I'm pretty skeptical about supporting any politician.
True, me too.
I got today I heard a man talking, and I'll do some more checking. But right now I'm going to tell you, I haven't heard a man talk that caught my interest or picked my pride in my country and things, but also saddened me by telling the truth of where my country was headed. He didn't lie. He didn't, you know, blow things around this and that. He told the truth right down the line, whether it hurt the GOP or whether it hurt the Democrats or whether it hurt both of them. He told it right down the line. And I got a lot of respect right now for Ted Cruz.
And you know, did you love those stories about his father? Oh, my God. That was, and he was amazing.
Reverse learned English. That amazed me.
Yep. Well, you know, and every time he was speaking during that segment, he kept saying, and this is what happens, Mr. President, when you do this, and this is what happens, and this is what these people tell me, and the CEOs and the owners of these big corporations and the fast food chains, they're cutting everything. They have to because of Obamacare. So he told him. He said his name, well, he said Mr. President several times during that speech that I heard, the parts I got to hear.
My daughter was just in the hospital. And she said every TV through the whole place was turned on that, and the nurses and people were looking in there and listening and watching. And that says something, because it's pretty liberal people there in that area.
Yeah.
But Ted Cruz was just had everybody picked, and nobody was complaining about it. They were all nodding their head. He was talking about how the government refuses to lose these people we elect. Once they get to Washington, D.C., they forget to listen to us. They then think we are supposed to listen to them. Nobody appointed you our guardian. Nobody appointed you power of attorney over us, so to speak. Nobody gave you any rights to be telling us what we should think.
Yes.
You work for us.
That's right. That's what they're for you.
We put you in office. We can take you out. And we can get a guy in there to vote to take away your perks.
Well, you know, Bill, the reason that they were watching the TV, because somehow, regardless of your IQ, when you're told the truth, you know it. You know it when you hear it. And he wasn't lying. He spoke the truth.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He's still one of the greatest... One of the best political speeches I've ever heard in my life. And
that
if
was
you were
awesome.
Listening, you wouldn't have known what party he came from.
He's still speaking now.
Well, he's still continuing on right now. We've got the TV. We're watching him. We got it turned down because we didn't want to drown out the sound here. But I got to tell you, I hear a lot of criticism. And I got into it on the internet today with some woman over Mitch McConnell and her telling me that this Johnny come lately, Ted Cruz, needs to sit back, put his years and time in until he gets to earn the right to a position. And I said,
oh my God.
Limits. And she said, oh, that's a huge leap. How was that a huge leap?
I think they also
He's telling me that he needs to put in his time like Mitch McConnell. Well, if we had term limits, Mitch's butt would have been out of there long ago.
That he's making more trust.
Oh, the whole thing is, you know, it's just unbelievable. And Bill, you know, look,
I've called my senator several times a day, and I've called anybody else's senator that I could call. Had you tried to call?
I haven't had time.
You about got to call their local offices and stuff because that switchboard in D.C. is melting.
And then to call up
allow terrorists
to come visit to Washington, D.C.
I take great offense at Harry Reid to sit up there and say the Tea Party is anarchy, the Tea Party is terrorists, the Tea Party is causing all the problems. You stupid ass. These problems existed since you've been sitting there long before the Tea Party was ever thought of. These problems were there. The overspending, the out-of-control government, we've got to fund the government. That's a bull crap lie. You're not funding crap. You're borrowing more money.
Amen,
printing,
brother.
Taxing, stealing. I know.
Printing.
Printing, but you got to pay it back.
That's the problem. That's not what they don't see it. They don't see it that way. They don't see it that way. You still here?
Well, I heard when I was on my way home just before I got on the air, I was hearing on Roger Hedgecock that Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn from Texas, both of them are doing they're doing the two-step dance and the whatever liberal shuffle and they're lying.
Cornyn,
they're lying to their constituents.
Cornyn knows by the amount of calls and stuff that he's in trouble. McConnell's stupid.
Yes, he is.
He's
an idiot. And you know what? Everybody's waking up to this dance they play and this game they play, and they say, "Oh, well, the cloture thing? They're going to do this or that, the other thing." And then once this goes down, and you know, X amount of votes here and X amount of votes there, and Harry Reid slips the amendment in, and then you know they can lie to everybody, but it's still going to put the screws to us. So everybody is onto these games, and that's why I'm sure that both of those people. Switchboards are melting also. So that's what's going on today. Because people can't, they're not going to put up with it anymore. They're seeing right through this. The masks are off. They can't lie to us anymore. People are waking up to, they're coming out of their fog and they're getting it and they're pissed. And I'm glad. It's about time.
Yeah, but they're still going to continue lying to us.
Chad just yesterday.
Oh, I know.
Yesterday and today, Chad has been explaining to people what the Tea Party really is because they've been misled into thinking that we're something we're not.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, because they listen to those idiots like Piglosi and Reed and Frankenfeinstein and Boxbutt and the rest of them. That's who they listen to. And they listen to those ridiculously retarded slime, I don't know, crawlers on PMS-LSD. That's who they listen to, and they believe it. I don't know why, but that's it. Unbelievable. I know. I run across it every single day. I'm trying really hard. Now, when I'm on the radio, I can rant, but I can't do it anymore in public.
How many people aren't awake?
Well, there's a lot of not awake.
And that saddens my heart, too, because let's face it. Somehow we should be able to, whenever we get a hold of power somehow, we need to take the media to court. We need to straighten out the media.
Because the media doesn't tell
They need to, these MSNBC, CNN, they should all have a thing that, up there in the front that says, not based on facts or truth.
Yeah, the fusion of entertainment and somewhat enlightenment. Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It drives me like nuts. I hear some of the most ignorant. Americans are living longer, but their health isn't good.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. The oxymorons and the cognitive dissonance. I know.
There's another one. Raising the debt ceiling doesn't raise the debt.
Oh, that stupid moron. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to the Obama phone girls. That's who he's speaking to. Because that's the only ones left who will listen to that frickin' piece of... Oh, don't get started on the name.
I have a 5-year-old granddaughter heard him say that, and she looked at me and says, That ain't right. She's 5 years old and knew he was wrong.
I was going to ask you guys, did you like the pictures I put on the blast?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Yes, we did.
Oh, good, good. Because I thought, oh, why not? You got Hoot and Holler. We're going to get everybody in there. We need to get the kids in there, too.
I was going through my emails this morning, all 641 of them. And, oh, man. And there was some things that jumped out at me. And some of it was some of these ignorant sayings that our electeds seem to make. And it seems to come a lot. And it tells me that unless they have something written down for them, they can't say it right.
Mm-hmm.
That worries me, because these are supposed to be some of the brightest. But the truthfully bright, intelligent people never seek political office because they know it's a bunch of headaches and crap.
Yeah, it's just, it will wear you down. And that's why,
we're never going to see Thomas Sowell run for office. He's too smart.
Absolutely. But you know what? Now, there are exceptions. I love Ted Cruz at this point. And I do think Dr. Paul was an absolutely wonderfully brilliant man, and he had it right. The man got it, and he did it for over 30 years.
I didn't agree 100% with him, because I agreed with him 99% more than I did any other politician.
Absolutely. I mean, you're never going to agree that much, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's 101%. But look, everything, and I'll tell you something. I've heard this from people, and I think they're crazy for thinking it. I didn't get a chance to expand on it when I spoke to the general public on the Saturday event, but they look at politics the way that the rest of the world looks at entertainment, and they look at the culture, and they just because we have TVs, they think everybody has to look like, you know, Rock Hudson back in the day, you know, not that he was straight, but I'm just saying they have to be gorgeous, and they have to be tall, and they have to be this, and they, you know, because no one will vote for them. Well, that's ridiculous. And,
well, actually,
and they,
you think
and,
that, but the two men that have made the most movies are Christopher Lee and John Carradine. Neither one of them would I call a
well, Bill, you got to understand that these are women I'm talking to here. Okay, across the bar the other day, but. And that's how women think. I'm telling you, some of these women voters, that's how they think. So,
well, I know.
So
what I'm saying,
what
I'm, my
but
wife's
they've
a
never
Sam
heard.
Elliot.
Huh?
My wife is a Sam Elliott fan. I know all about that.
Now, that's one I would, yeah, okay, I could dig that. But I didn't get a chance to explain to these people that they have never actually heard Ron Paul speak. Because if they haven't heard him in person for 40 minutes, they have not heard the man. You cannot, you know, especially the way he's portrayed on TV, especially the way he was treated in every venue, every avenue of his political life trying to be president. It was so unfair, absolutely so unfair. I can't even describe it. I mean, you know, and I was very privileged to hear the man. He's extremely charming and extremely electable.
I need to get a sign or shirt something when I go to public, because I hear some of the dumbest crap when I'm in public, and it makes me want to stay away from the public.
Exactly.
Oh, people hate Miley Cyrus because she's so successful. And I asked her, I said Stevie Nicks has probably sold more music than any woman in history, and she never once had to use her body to sell it.
Oh my gosh! I mean, well, we could go down the line. I mean, people like
you just looked at me, and then it dawned on what
I'm. Yeah, you go down the line. How many that have shown their body to make a success?
Well,
there's more than the others.
Or you have one of them like Sheriff that has all the plastic stuff done to make her look good.
Shit.
there's
40. I'll tell you who's hot for their age. Raquel Welch.
Yes, and the only other one that kind of gets away with that is Cher, but that's neither here nor there. As far as being a lady and selling lots of records, you know, we can go back in time. I don't like Streisand, but she did sell a lot. But I do like Anita Baker, and that woman can sing like a songbird, and she was always a lady. My goodness.
Stevie, with all her years,
she could sing
with
circles around him.
She's by far the top female selling artist of all time.
Which one?
Stevie Nicks.
And you know who's the upcoming one? Who's also a lady and a Christian? Is Carrie Underwood. Love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stevie was the lead singer for Fleetwood Mac. That covers several decades of dominance. And then on her own, she dominated. But if you watch her, she's not out there sticking her tongue out, turn around and trying to act like she's humping the air or anything like that. I doubt Miley will ever have the recording success of Stevie Nicks.
Probably not. Well, people will get tired of that. Look, a lot of times that, you know.
That same dance move that Cyrus did, I seen that probably about a week before she did that because my niece was showing, my 15-year-old niece was showing me this. And I didn't know she was doing all this stuff, flipping around and everything, and I walked on out the door. And then the next time after I seen her dance and that kind of dance it was, I went and got on to my niece for doing that.
Wow. Yeah,
I've heard
people there's
never seen my daughter's dance, nor do I want to.
You know, when I know that we're dealing with ancient history here, but when I was 15, they didn't have the most raw thing they had was Elvis on his hips. I mean, that was it. So, and the Beatles, all they did was stand in their funky suits and, you know, flop their hair around. So that's what I grew up on. It was not anything like what's going on today.
Now we got all kinds of stuff that's going on today.
Oh,
what's out in our, like the gay, that's out in public, on TVs. I can't even turn my TV on and let my kids watch TV without seeing a man on a man or a woman on a woman. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's pretty disgusting. You know what? From what I see, in fact, my cable company, they don't even tell you they're going to do it. They just take certain stations off and you don't get them anymore. Like, I think I don't get 13, I don't get 14. I don't get C-SPAN anymore. I guess I have to call them and spend extra money. The whole thing's ridiculous. My mother pays $75 a month just for, I don't know, she has a bundle with the phone and everything else. I pay $36 just to add on my internet with these clowns. I'm ready to take that TV and... it wasn't for my mom, I wouldn't have one. I wouldn't. I would throw it out the door.
I have another
I'm
caller
serious.
Online. Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
How's it in Georgia?
It wasn't bad today. Just enjoying watching Ted Cruz get up there and do his thing.
Oh,
you know, I heard Linda talking about Ron Paul. You know, I think one of the things that gets overlooked is that he is a large part of the reason why we're having these conversations today.
Sure.
Yes, he
is. He pushed the envelope. And, you know, I was having the conversation with a guy today, and he just said, well, his foreign policy was just crazy. And I looked and I said, as opposed to what we're doing now, and what we've been doing for the last 40-plus years.
Jesus.
I mean, you know, the idea, and see, the thing is, it's fear. It's abject fear that if we don't have our military, and you think about this for a minute, the fear that if we don't have our military in all these sundry places around the world to force other countries to capitulate to our will, that the world will just collapse. Well, you know, we're becoming or have become the most hated nation on the planet.
Our military should have been on our border before they were in the Middle East.
Well, you got that right. I mean, just dang it. But I think,
so
you know, Ron Paul has brought the Constitution to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that was scarcely even mentioned
exactly
prior to, you know, his entry into the presidential debate. And you saw the reaction back in 2008 when he started talking about removing or withdrawing the U.S. from military imperialism around the globe, oh, the audiences in many of the places booed and hissed at him. You know, that takes a lot of courage to get up there and know that you're in essentially
the wolf's den.
You're in the den of vipers, and you're going to call them out. But I think he paved the way for the Ted Cruz's and the Rand Paul and the others.
Right.
What do you think of?
What do you think of some of the speeches? If you've heard anything of Ted today, what do you think of him?
Well, I mean, I think he's had some very valid points, and like any filibuster, they're of course looking to fill time. You know, obviously, but it's some very, very valid points being brought up, and I think we'll see and hear more validity as it goes on.
His first hour was tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, I sat through and listened to him.
The points he's on, like I said, Bob, if you'd have listened, you wouldn't have known what party he was from.
When did he start?
240.
Well, that's true. 241 is when he started. And, yeah, I mean, you know, that was the thing he was pointing out is that, look, you know, we all have our favorite team, and we all like to root for our team. But this isn't about rooting for our team.
Right.
It's about doing what's right for the American people and for our country, which is absolutely the reason they're up there in the first place. And,
and he's right, Ron. They are supposed to be listening to us before they do these decisions, not taking it upon themselves that, oh, I know better than my constituents. I'll make the decisions, and they'll live with it.
And you see, this is one of the reasons why, and I had posted in the chat earlier, that I would like to see a repeal of the 17th Amendment and
absolutely
get the appointment of senators back to our state legislature.
Got it.
And I know that, you know, a lot of people disagree with that. But the way our government was first structured was that the House of Representatives were supposed to be representing their collective districts. And the Senate, believe it or not, was there to represent the state interest.
The state.
And many times, as we see in state politics, the state's interest is at odds with the people's interests. And that was the whole point of the damn exercise. So that we didn't have this freeway through Congress whereby the bills just zipped through one house and through the Senate and on to the president for his signature.
It's sick.
Based on partisan crap.
Yep.
And so, should that happen, you know, the founders thought, well, gee, if that does happen, that we somehow get some collective coalescence of the people and the states, and they're trying to ram through some unconstitutional act, the president is supposed to act as a constitutional divining rod and strike down those acts which are not constitutional. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the checks and balances have been so erased. The lines are so blurred. It's beyond. And I did hear the other day on one of the shows on Glenn's stuff, David Barton speaking about the original intent of the Supreme Court, that it was supposed to be the least effective or authoritative of the three branches.
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution to lend the idea that the Supreme Court is the final arbiter on whether or not some act of legislation is constitutional. That was up to the states
and the people
and to the legislatures. You know, that wasn't the Supreme Court's job. Their job was primarily to stand in the gap between a state and a citizen
of
another state, or citizens of the same state. Of course, they quickly put in the 11th Amendment because of Chisholm v. Georgia, because Georgia was pissed that, you know, it went directly to the Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court never got to rule on that case.
Wow.
And that's what prompted the 11th Amendment, because it was a dispute between the state of Georgia and a citizen. So they put that 11th Amendment in there as a barrier that it would, the Supreme Court would have original jurisdiction when it was a controversy between a state and a citizen of another state.
Yeah, I just saw something the other day.
Hey, Ron.
It was, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the missing amendment?
Yeah, you mean the missing 13th?
Yeah, the one where lawyers and judges couldn't have been politicians.
I've heard a lot about that, but I've never personally seen, you know, a verification of it. But yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, that's the one you sent me, and then I sent it to Bill, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I had it for, I don't remember, I've had that for years. Known about that for years. I was studying Davy Crockett and some other things, and I came upon that. And you think about it, your judges and your lawyers are the ones who enforce laws and this and that. To let them choose which laws to make and this and that, it would be a conflict of interest. And that was why. And that amendment came up missing right before Lincoln ran for president.
Well, there were a lot of lawyers in Congress at that time.
Oh,
I mean, you know, Jefferson was a lawyer.
Lincoln was a lawyer.
Patrick Henry was a lawyer.
Well, that may have been why they put that in there. That was going in there, Ron. They might have known that it was, you know, it was like when they put in term limits or anything like that.
But see, what we think of as a lawyer today and what a lawyer was at that time back then, two totally different things.
Oh, yeah. They're not just a lawyer.
Those guys back in the day, they were not members.
They were way more honest back then about things than they are today.
Well, heck, you even
Well,
got
they weren't
pet
members
lawyers.
Of the bar, I can tell you that.
They even had pet lawyers.
Pet lawyers.
They were not members of the bar.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. The barristers from England. So there was also, there was a quote from Rand Paul on Facebook. Don't know the validity of it, but it sounded good anyway. He said that just because some Supreme Court justice says that a law is constitutional doesn't necessarily make it so. And I agreed with him.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And,
right.
You know, we can go back and look. Even before the Wicker case, but the Wicker case is one that stands out in my mind, and I know you guys don't, peruse the Supreme Court case law. That is blatantly, I mean blatantly, tyrannical and oppressive. You're talking about a farmer in Iowa mm-hmm. during the height of the Great Depression that was growing wheat.
One.
He was growing wheat. Not to sell on the market, but to grind into flour for his to feed his family. And the government said that under the Commerce Clause, they had the authority to stop him from growing wheat. And what they argued was that because he was growing and harvesting wheat for his own consumption, he was therefore not going to the marketplace and purchasing the wheat or the flour, and
therefore
he was having a negative effect on commerce.
Oh,
and the
God.
Damned court agreed.
Jesus,
isn't that crap? It's just
so
sickening.
You've got the federal government telling an individual that he can't grow wheat in his garden.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Well, precisely.
They'd have to freaking watch me do it.
Well, see, that was the time frame that if you go back in history, that was the time frame in our history when several of Roosevelt's New Deal programs had been struck down by the court as being unconstitutional, and it pissed him off something terrible.
Sure.
So he threatened to stack the court.
Stack it, right.
Instead of 9 justices, he was going to appoint a total of 13 justices.
Oh, my God.
Until
so that's
until
why
he
they
got enough justices, he'd keep appointing them until he got enough to get a majority. And so we have an old saying, a switch in time saves nine. And that's where that comes from. They switch their votes. And
I personally don't believe anybody should be appointed to a job for life.
I can kind of concur with that, but I understand the reasoning behind it. If
Unless
you appoint a Supreme Court justice for life, then it's very difficult to put political pressure on them, right, that you're going to throw them out of their job. One of the other things, that, and it's in your Constitution.
I don't know, that'd be a
that
bad.
Okay. It's in your Constitution that the salary of a judge cannot be diminished while he is holding his position.
Office, right.
Now, wouldn't you know, along comes the income tax law.
Okay.
And several federal judges got together and they filed suit and said, hey, wait a minute, you cannot tax our salary. You can't do that. It's unconstitutional. And nine justices said, oh, no, that's not diminishing your salary by any stretch. Well, what that did was that lifted the veil, so to speak. It opened an avenue whereby the government could apply pressure to the justices.
Sure.
Because who wants to go through an IRS audit?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
see, this is how far afield we've gone.
I got a knock on wood here, Ron. I just got the letter 3 days ago. Our case is finally settled in Indiana. We've been 3 years battling the feds in Indiana.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's a long time. Wow. Oh, that's how long you'll have to wait for a hip replacement if this stuff goes through, which we're talking about today.
Oh my God. If there's anybody that's able to do it after they all quit.
Yep.
I got my little pocket constitution out here.
If I was a doctor, I'd switch to be a veterinarian.
I grabbed my pocket constitution right quick, and it's in Section 1 of Article 3. The judges, both of the supreme and inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall, at stated times, receive for their services a compensation which shall not be diminished during their continuance in office.
I need to
Okay, now they said, oh, well, that means you can't give them a pay cut. Well, no.
No.
Cannot be diminished. Diminished has a very specific meaning, and if a judge has a salary of $100,000 a year and you begin taxing it at 10%, you're diminishing his salary.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, plus the fact, what if that wording is correct and it says compensation, that's supposed to be immune from taxation anyway.
Well, that is exactly correct. But you know, again, we twist the words to mean.
Oh yeah.
You're talking about recently there was a widow of somebody that they voted to give a pension to. Did you see that, Rod?
No, but that sounds strangely familiar.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Davy Crockett thing where he said that was what that was about, that the government has no business in charity. That is an individual's choices and rights. Who I may want to give my money to charity as a charity, you may want to give to another. That's our choices. It's not the government's choice to get involved into charities and that thereby picking winners and losers. And there is one of our major problems. Giving
you
money
mean like
to
it
all
is
the
today?
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are giving too much money out here to people. Out of the taxpayers' funds, we're paying La Raza. We're still paying Acorn.
We're paying Planned Parenthood. We're paying
them
all.
And the charity,
we're paying for the people, the drugs, we're paying for Al-Qaeda.
And the people that are receiving this charity, it becomes a snare to their feet. And they become dependent upon it.
Exactly. We have a government that gives out grants to prove a specific, not to prove something right or wrong, but to come to a specific point on it, like the global warming, where they were paying to have people come to the conclusion.
Sure.
So, yeah, they were paying for a conclusion in their favor.
You know, I think what we should do is they should pass a law that allows them to spend $10,000 per citizen to buy their vote. It would save us money.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, all the stimulus money and all this other money that's been handed out to foreign nations and our enemies and all this, how much would each American have if all that money was divided equally amongst them?
Well, you wouldn't have much, and here's why, and we've gone through this. It'd be a lot of money. Let's come up with a figure just out of the blue. Let's say it's $50,000 per
person,
work age, work eligible individual in the United States. If tomorrow morning we woke up and everyone had $50,000 deposited in their bank account by Friday night, how much do you think a Big Mac would cost at McDonald's?
We're going to talk about $10.
I'm understanding of that point, Ron, but my point is we are wasting that much money.
Well,
I think if it was in their pocket how much it would be, they might understand that it is a waste and they would want to do away with that waste. And I'm not saying give the people the money. If you got that much money, pay off some of the debt.
Well, that's not what they want to do. And what you have to understand,
it may not be what they want to do, but I both know if they don't do it, we are crashing. And I don't think there's any way to avoid it.
There is a reason that the QE continues. And there's a reason that they're not concerned with the level of QE. And that very reason, you know, Dr. Paul, in a committee hearing, asking Bernanke questions, and I've talked about this before, during the original bailout fiascos, he asked Bernanke point blank, how can you increase your balance sheet by $500 billion, half a trillion dollars, and claim that it's not inflationary? To which Bernanke responded, it's quite simple. That money will never be spent into the general economy. It is simply sitting on the balance sheets of member banks. Now, if you go and read the latest Fed report, you will see that all this money from QE, $85 billion a month, 86% of all the money they've spent in QE1, QE2, and now QE3, 86% of it is exactly where Bernanke was saying. It's parked on the balance sheets of member banks. Almost half, 46%, is in the hands of foreign banks that do business in the United States.
Yep.
So what you're hearing is, Bill, if you own a bank and I run the Fed and I pretend to electronically purchase a bunch of treasuries and mortgage-backed securities and I put them on my balance sheet and I mark them as having a specific asset value of, we'll say, $20 billion. I then electronically transfer to your books $20 billion, but I give you the express instruction. You are not allowed to touch it. It's just there for show. Because that's exactly what they're doing. And I can tell you the reason they're doing it. they're trying to generate enough collateral on the balance sheets of these banks to cover their backsides for their exposure in the derivatives market.
Yes.
Wow.
They cannot get there from here. When you look at somebody like a J.P. Morgan Chase, J.P. Morgan has on its books 48 times its net assets in derivatives exposure.
Wow.
So let's say, just for simplicity, J.P. Morgan Chase has assets of $1 trillion, which means, by the way, they have liabilities of $1 trillion. It's pretty much a break-even game. They have on account $48 trillion in exposure to the derivatives market.
Jeez.
So we're going to see these bigger banks try to take over the smaller banks, the locally owned banks?
Well, essentially, it's kind of a crazy thing. It's really like an incestuous relationship, because the member banks, J.P. Morgan, Chase, and the others, own the Federal Reserve Bank. And the Federal Reserve Bank is cooking the books for them. Using the government's treasury bond program, which places the taxpayers liable.
Yeah, of course.
And then these same taxpayers are presumably going to go to these very same banks to borrow money at interest.
Yeah.
You've seen the big taboo about the food stamp thing, and they're saying the Democrat or the Republicans are going to cause people to starve.
Oh my God, I've heard it.
Let me tell you how misleading that is. They were voting to raise the food stamp budget, and the Republicans voted down part of that, so they only got to raise it so much. So
right,
the part that they didn't get to raise it. The part they didn't get to raise it, they're calling it a cut.
Well, certainly.
It was never there, so that can't be a cut.
Well, no, but it is. See, that's Washington.
And you're adding to it anyway.
It's no different than when you lower the tax rate. They talk about how are you going to pay for this tax cut. That's because they've spent the money ahead of time.
Well, and they spent so much money, and you and I both know there's no way of getting out of the hole. We can't pay the interest.
We can't people even understand it.
No, they
don't. We talk about a $1 trillion deficit, like we actually have a budget, and all that means is that Congress spent $1 trillion more than they took in. Okay, then we talk about the national debt, which is $17 trillion, but nobody's talking about the real number of $211 trillion, that's our obligation as it stands right now.
Yeah, they don't want to talk about that.
If they stop all government spending tomorrow, shut the government down, close down the military, sold off all the – we still have $211 trillion to pay.
No, he's right, $211 trillion. It's probably about $70 trillion over that.
You know, we've said this before, and I believe that they should make an amendment on how much they pay congressmen and presidents. There should only be, you know, after their four years, they shouldn't get no more money.
There should be a cutoff,
not when until they die.
Guys, that's not the problem. It's not what
I got
pay
a better them. Idea.
It's the insider investing and insider trading that they participate in that builds their huge wealth.
I got a better idea.
Okay.
Anybody that's on a government assistance program, those are the only people that can stand for election to Congress and the Senate. There will be no salary. They'll continue to collect their welfare and their food stamps benefits while in Washington. They're not allowed to accept any gifts, and they're not allowed to accept any job when they're out of office that has any connection whatsoever to government.
With the government. Amen.
There you go.
I put it into that crap in a hurry.
I'm just saying, I've been preaching that for years, Ron. Give the person a little bit of dignity. Give them, there's plenty of work they could be doing. And instead of us paying some high union wages to somebody to come around there and stand around all the time, and that's not everybody, I understand, but I've seen the county highway and the state highway departments in action, and it just tears me up.
You know,
and I think we could be
old...
We got all these people in prisons. Many of them are there. They're nonviolent. Get them out of there. Put them to work. Pay them what you would pay them, which is like less than $3 a day. Makes a lot more sense than paying $18 to $20 an hour, and you'll get more work done.
I like what Sandy wrote. Sandy wrote in the chat room, pay them the average salary in their discus and no benefits.
Well, you know, I've advocated that before, and I think that, you know, of course, you'd never get Congress to go for it. But I think a good program would be that senators get paid from their state's treasury. So the state appoints the senators from the state legislature. They appoint the senators for the state, and they set the salary, and it comes out of the state's treasury. And when you go to the House of Representatives, whatever district a congressman is elected from, his district determines his salary, and it's paid directly out of his district.
Yes.
Works for me.
I think instead of them automatically qualifying for a lifetime pension or whatever, that should be a percentage based on how long they've served. But
there should not be a
30-year, because I'd be the first person to go out there and cut their term and make them term limits so none of them ever qualified for a lifetime pension.
There should not be any such thing as a government pension. It should not be.
They're not in there that long. I'm sorry. You got people that are doing 40 years in a factory and get a pension. These guys are doing 40 years, 10 years, whatever, and they get it all. They get that pension every time. I mean, that's somebody wrote an article on Facebook that you would tell the president and all the government to just not get paid for a year. It takes some deficit away. Everybody.
And
I mean, old congressmen, new congressmen, all of them.
Let me tell you how it's working. Take Chad here. What Chad does for a living. Person who does what Chad does for a living, if they did it for the government, would make 3 to 5 times the amount that Chad does, and Chad's the one paying them.
Oh,
exactly.
I know.
No, exactly. Even when you don't have people bid on government contracts, you have to pay what they call Davis-Bacon prevailing wage, and that's based on a union shop. It's the biggest bunch of crock of BS.
Well, isn't that also Congress has their own buddies that get the contracts anyway? I mean, legitimately.
Well, absolutely.
I mean,
it's no different.
Diane Feinstein's husband's making big money off of selling post offices. Fauci's brother-in-law got a big government grant for green energy crap. And then there's Pelosi, the only member of Congress who owns a business. It's in America, Samoa, but she's an American. It's in America, Samoa. She is exempt from paying minimum wage.
Yep.
So whose bright idea was it for the taxpayers to pay for lifetime secret service for ex-presidents? That sucks.
But me, I sure didn't.
Well,
the
funny thing about that.
They can afford their own damn private security.
I tell you what, I come from a town, we had a guy named, we called him Bucky Ruckner, and he was a Secret Service, and he was guarding Nixon's daughter until he retired.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There's no excuse for this. The waste, fraud, and abuse is huge.
The funny thing about that is if the SOBs did their job, you know, they wouldn't have to worry about some poor citizen wanting to shoot him in the frickin' head.
You're damn right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, I'm with Linda.
So I guess you
could be 100% perfect, and some idiot out here would want to shoot you.
But I'm still with Linda.
Okay.
I agree. I think they should pay for their own damn protection.
If they can afford their own, my God, they can afford everything else, including, everything they've stolen and insider traded with and had their pockets lined by all the freakazoids and the Illuminatiazoids. I mean, good
yeah.
grief. Please. You know
if
what's
we had
going
that,
on.
We know how to act.
Well, okay. What's
going
to, Ron, I was going to ask Ron, what's going to happen and how soon do you think it's going to happen with the financial meltdown? Because everybody on the internet and everybody on the financial pages is talking about this stuff. Everybody.
You know, I'm telling you, I can't make heads or tails of the market right now. It is absolutely stupid. I mean, I'm seeing just craziness going on.
Because they're trying to cover
some of its fault.
I think it's just, you know, I think it's to the point where it's like a game of whack-a-mole.
Yeah, it is. And while we're worrying about that, we also got to worry about, well, with all the foreign troops on our soil, all the new weaponry, military weaponry they're handing out to the law enforcement and stuff, and reading
yep.
what John Kerry's about to sign on to tomorrow, you got to wonder how fast is that going to start, and that's going to be a bloody mess.
Let alone martial law.
Well, that's already been implemented slowly across everywhere.
It's very disgusting. And they've got – did you see that one bill where they – it was on Facebook and they said there was truckloads of signs that were going to be placed that
yeah,
martial law is now in effect? Where was it?
Yeah. That's in Illinois, and I don't know that that ain't about the city of Chicago and their violent crime problem. But even so –
You mean the gun-free zone of Chicago?
Oh, my God.
They're talking
hey,
about bringing that and have the National Guard in Chicago to help assist with the gun problem.
You know what?
They're be breaking in doors and kicking in doors and taking guns, regardless
you know
if you legally own it or not.
They might as well just rename that place Treblinka because that's what they're trying to turn it into, a goddamn concentration camp. Please, look, just
we
you
all,
guys have read history. You know what I'm saying.
We should all keep an eye on that situation to see if they are taking the guns away from lawful citizens also because this could very well be the start of the UN deal.
Oh, God, I hate this. You know what? It's time to revolt, guys.
you need to bug out and dig in and revolt. I dread and hate the idea of a war, revolution, or anything like that because of the consequences of it all. But if it's going to happen, I want it to happen now. I don't want my grandkids to have to suffer through it all.
Right. Well, I don't see any other way out of this. I honestly don't. Look what they're doing. I mean, everybody can
see. They're not giving
us
a choice.
They're not giving anybody a choice.
You're seeing a turnaround in the public, where
right.
where the president's even losing support on his own party in places
Thank
all
God.
Over. And
Thank
they're
God.
Waking up. And they're looking at things. You have the public is wondering why, with all the murdering of Christians going on in all these countries in the last week around the globe, and with all of the things our government is doing to attack Christianity in any form it can, using the abortion
sure.
issue, using the gay issue, using the
yep.
health care thing. I mean, yeah, they're attacking Christianity, but they're giving Muslims a pass on everything.
Oh, yeah.
And if you can't put together that the guy sitting there in the White House is a
Muslim
Brotherhood supporter, if not just a member, then you're blind.
Yep, they are. Absolutely, Bill.
He's
I know.
Money. He's giving them arms. He is.
He's just,
all
look,
he's
Ramadan just continuing. He is just continuing, guys, a long tradition between England and the United States of supporting and funding fanatical Islam. And,
right.
you know, I posted in the chat earlier, you realize that the Muslim Brotherhood was started by one man.
My
and
God.
He received a loan from an English company called the Suez Company, i.e. the Suez Canal Zone Company.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Has anybody here ever seen the movie Sir Lawrence of Arabia?
I
yes.
have.
Do you remember what the movie was about?
Was it not the Caliphate?
Yes, T.E. Lewis,
yeah.
or Lawrence, I mean, T.E. Lawrence,
yeah.
uniting the Muslim Arabs. And what you have to understand is the British were playing a dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know what the hell they were doing any more than we did when we got involved after World War I and World War II. But
wow.
by that time, the Brits had had quite a bit of experience with the Muslims, and they had learned how they could manipulate and somewhat control them. And they thought it was quite useful that they promoted. They absolutely promoted the more radical arm of Islam, because believe it or not, all the way back in the mid to late 1800s, there
mm-hmm.
was a reformist movement going on within Islam to be more modernized and not to be so reactionary. And there
rigid.
Was a couple of
right.
To get rid of the rigidity. And there was truly a separation between the religious ideology of Islam and
like
a political ideology. There was a division, even among Sunni, Shia, Wahhabism, all the various different sects. And it was T.E. Lewis and another guy named Cromer who actually solidified the House of Saud, Ibn Saud. And he creates Saud is the one that gave rise to Saudi Arabia, because it didn't exist
sure.
as a country in any sense of the word. And he had a group, a band of, what did they call it? Bedouin, warriors
mm-hmm.
that were like the Stasi. I mean, these guys were brutal.
Wow.
And in his reign of terror with the, I forget the name of them now, it was like the Iqwa, they had
mm-hmm.
400,000 murders.
Oh, my gosh.
By this group, yes, and 35,000 amputations.
Oh, my God. Wow.
To enforce Ibn Saud's ideology of Islam.
Jeez.
And they even went further into, the Turkish domain and the Ottoman Empire.
Right.
And anywhere there was a domed building, they were destroying those domed buildings and rebuilding new mosques that were more in keeping with the Wahhabist tradition of Islam. And, I mean, it's crazy. The Brits knew that they could poke a stick in there and stir these guys up along religious
sure.
lines. And they were like a rabid dog on a leash, and they'd turn them loose, and so
right.
they served their purpose.
Right, and exactly that's why you're equating what's going on today, and you've got schmuck face
Uh-oh.
In the White House.
Kind of
and
like
then,
what the Catholic Church did, Vlad.
Well, that's
huh?
exactly what's going on, and what you're seeing right now, this blatant siding with or giving Islam a pass for their terroristic
uh-huh.
acts, is an attempt, and it's quite a good one, I think, at balkanizing
sure.
Christians who don't need a lot of encouragement to dislike Muslims and Islam. So you're creating this balkanization, but I'm afraid that the underlying purpose of that balkanization is, in the long term, to strip
a holy war,
to strip Americans of any religious freedoms.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And you're right.
Well, look,
to foment a holy war. Saddam Hussein called it.
Okay. Well, look. Look what they're doing right now and have been for I don't know how long. I'd have to look it up and ask Barbara, my friend, who's studying this stuff with the Common Core and then prior to that as well. they have been doing this for years, especially with all the curriculum, whether it's Common Core or C-Scope or any of this nonsense. They are downplaying everything Christian in all of our history throughout from 1500s forward. They are now teaching these children, these young ones, that Islam is a religion of peace. I mean, they are just, they're bending over backwards. You know, you can put prayer rugs anywhere in the school, but God, if you put a cross anywhere, they're going to expel you, and everybody's excoriated, and the parents have to sue you. It's ridiculous. This is evil.
Yes. Amen.
I'm sick of it.
We're about to have, I know Indiana, the state of Indiana, is probably about to have a big fight with Eric Holder because he wants to outlaw charter schools.
Of course he does. Stupid, evil, traitor, commie, rat.
We're happy to say we have the most extensive charter school system in the country.
Indiana.
And Indiana kind of likes.
Somebody needs to get a provost marshal out there and arrest that SOB. It's what they need to do.
Yeah. And
just
we're very big
the table yard with a disgruntled employee. Oh,
there
no,
you
I didn't say that out loud. Did
you got that right. You heard about that, huh? Did you guys heard about that? Was it before it's news or Breitbart or Alex Jones talking about the false flag? Actually, a retaliation against the people who wanted to arrest Barry. That's why that happened.
But I still say, if that's the reason, why haven't they arrested him since?
True.
I don't know. It's ridiculous. I mean, it looked like they were almost more successful with the Valkyrie attempts, for crying out loud. Except the bombs didn't work. Jesus Christ, how stupid are these people?
That's just it anymore. You don't know what the hell to believe. I mean, honestly.
I know. I know. I just know I'm locking and loading. God. Oh, I got to practice Saturday. It was great with my 9. It was so neat. And I went with a shooting partner, and it was her first time out, and she's looking for stuff to buy. It was hysterical because she didn't know about all the draconian laws already in place in California. And she hands a list to this guy at the counter and says, can you rent me one of these? And he says, these aren't even allowed in here in the States. It was funny. Oh, God, you guys would have died. I had to keep my, lips buttoned and not chuckle too much. It was absolutely hysterical. But she did great. She absolutely did pretty well for her first time out. It was fun. I was practicing flipping out the mag and replacing it quickly. I need some more practice, but that's all right. Oh, yeah.
Can lack never have guys. Much practice.
I know. You have to be like second nature with it. I know.
I actually took my grandson, Caleb, to his first gun show Sunday.
Cool.
So that was pretty awesome.
Good.
He was stunned. He told me, he said, Grandpa, there's way too many little guns here. Because they have all the small little pocket pistols and stuff. So I looked at him, I said, well, you think maybe we should take a couple home so they don't have quite so many? Oh, yeah.
You're training them up right, dude. You're training them up right.
Oh, that's funny.
That's great. Yeah. So is the filibuster still happening? Because I have no idea. I haven't been on it.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I haven't.
Yes. Still talking.
Yes. NZ has just entered, going back and forth with Cruz on questions on it. It's 8:27. They've been going at it for a while. He's had quite a few people here now helping him, and that's, to me, that's
surprising. Mike Lee. I know.
But I know.
It's great.
If Mitch McConnell sides with the Democrats on this, I think Mitch will be out of office very quick, so fast his head will spin. He'll lose.
Good.
He'll lose in Kentucky.
You mean the turtleneck?
Yeah.
Yep.
He
has a turtle nose, too.
He looks like a
damn
turtle.
He does.
Well, these guys are all a bunch of... They're all a bunch of damn Johnny-come-latelys.
In 2006, I was fighting Mitch McConnell, John McCain, George Bush on amnesty then. And Mitch would get up there and make comments, and I had my webmaster at that time was an awesome guy, and I said, I'm wondering how far up his butt Bush has to stick his arm to make Mitch's mouth move. And this guy made a puppet, and it looked like a real puppet of Mitch McConnell with George Bush having his arm up the back of him and saying, "Ain't that right, Mitch?" And Mitch saying, "Yes, George."
That's funny. Oh my
God. Well, you
God.
Know, I personally biggest, can't wait until biggest... they get to the amnesty issue, and I want to. I'm going to be.
Pelosi's going to bring that up.
In, I'm going to be chiming in with every one of these senators that I can get a hold of. There's no point whatsoever in me writing or talking to any of my senators because they're a bunch of scumbags.
I can't do mine either. I got Boxer and
but I can certainly get a hold of Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and a few others.
Yep.
And tell them, you know, one of the things that they should point out in the debate is we've already tried amnesty, and look where it's led us.
Yeah. Right down there.
Where was
not a solution?
Where was the enforcement? Where was the enforcement then? Where has it been? Right now, all of our elected who have refused to enforce the current laws are guilty of aiding and abetting in the breaking of those laws.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that the point? Look, we've tried amnesty without enforcement. And here we are again. So it ought to be obvious at this point that amnesty is not the solution.
Right.
Maybe.
The one thing they've never forced done.
The current law might be a solution.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they've done. Never tried.
I know. It's disgusting.
You know, and it's the same argument. You got all these people that have been living here for decades, you can't just kick them out. And that's going to be the same argument about welfare, food stamps, Social Security. You got all these people that are dependent on it. Yes, you're right. We do have all these people that are dependent. And this is precisely why these programs never should have been implemented in the first
place.
Well, Ron, we have twice in our country's history kicked them out.
You bet.
After Korea and after World War II. We deported them.
Yes,
they did. We can use attrition. If they can't get a job, if they can't get housing, if they can't get free benefits, they will leave.
You're sounding like Ron Paul now. They're going to self-deport. And they will.
Yep. Most of them will.
Oh, okay.
And the ones that
you
round up.
What about all... Okay.
You've got to punish the employers who hire them. You've got to punish the investors and all that are putting up houses and stuff to cater to them. It's all abetting and stuff. There are laws against it. They will not enforce the laws. They refuse to enforce the laws. That makes them guilty of conspiring to break the laws.
Okay, my question here, when we look at the monetary situation, you talk about the welfare and the food stamps and the freebies and the free education and the free everything else that they're handing out through taxpayer, you know, plunder. When the financial collapse hits, where is the money going to come for all of those programs? It's not going to.
Now, they just print it up.
They don't have.
Wait a minute.
Let me tell you how fake all that is. If they don't spend another dime, they don't pass anything to spend another dime by the 2016. It's already $23 trillion on the clock.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Let's go back before we had EBT cards, when we actually had food stamps and you got a coupon book, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
Way, way back.
Okay, so think about this for a minute. Let's stop and think about this logistically. The government prints up booklets full of monopoly money.
Yep.
Yep.
That merchants have to take in exchange, just like it was actual money.
God.
Do you see something going on here? They don't even, they're not printing dollars, they're printing another form of currency.
Monopoly money. So, okay, once it goes all the way down and crashes, though, and you can't even walk in, I mean, the banks are going to lock down. You can't get money out of it. Nothing will come out. How are they going to get their, quote, EBT cards filled up? It's not going to happen.
They won't work.
No. Absolutely. Then is when the shit's going to hit the fan.
Yes, ma'am. I believe you're correct.
Because they'll be in the street.
You know,
that's when you result to your get out of town plan.
Absolutely.
I am hearing or reading more and more frequently in the financial end of things, more and more people beginning to utter that there's going to be some kind of a global reset, and it's going to be partially backed by gold. And I'm like, wow, where have I heard that before?
Wow. Oh my God. These people.
And what everyone that's in the know and isn't in denial or so damn blinded by Keynesian central economic planning that they can actually see daylight, what those people are focused on right now is the tremendous amount of actual money or gold and silver that is leaving the United States bound for Asia.
My God, that's very frightening.
And we have to look at a few things, and this is why I wonder if it's just not for show, because I've heard all along for years and years that China is the model. And if we just take a look financially at where things are fleeing to, and when I say things, I mean gold and silver and multinational corporations that are leaving the United States, and where are they finding their home? Edward Snowden, where did he flee to first? Okay.
China.
So when we start adding
China.
When we start adding these things together, and then we add to that the announcement by the BRICS nations that they have reached an agreement to create a World Bank / IMF type system amongst themselves to trade exclusively in their own currencies and to shun the dollar.
Right.
You know, all of these things together are starting
to
paint a very, very dim picture for the future of the United States.
Are you surprised that this Ponzi scheme has held up this long?
I am. I'm shocked.
I am and I'm not at the same time. I kind of marvel at it.
In a sick-twisted way.
Well, I mean, you got to give them credit where credit's due.
Jeez.
And even before the even before 71, you know, that was a pretty good system. You got to think, after World War II, the United States managed to convince every other major country on the planet to peg their currency to the U.S. dollar. Once they had them all lassoed in, and see, of course, the dollar was pegged to gold. Once everybody was sufficiently in the camp, we took the gold out from under the dollar. And I said, what are you going to do? Because nobody's going to want your fiat currency, and they're all already operating on ours.
It's sick. I know.
And so the consequence of that is the majority of inflation that we, the United States, would have otherwise experienced had we not had that deal in place, we were able to export that to other countries.
Yeah.
And it depressed their economies and it depressed their currencies because...
No wonder they hate us.
Well, if you're Japan or China or some other country... And your money, your currency, is tied directly to the dollar. So we'll say whatever the rate is, let's just assume it's a 1-to-1 ratio for the sake of ease of calculation. And the United States depreciates their currency by half. That means you've depreciated yours by half.
Yes.
Now you
last
have
week.
To depreciate yours. You have to keep pace. Once it became unpegged from gold, all the currencies depegged from the dollar. So now it was a race to see who could make their currency cheaper so that their exports would be more attractive. That's what they call a race to the bottom.
Bottom, yep. Jeez.
And that's what we've been witnessing. I've said it a million times. Bush is up there talking about we have a strong dollar policy. Bull crap. Strong dollar policy, my backside.
Yeah.
When we saw the exchange rate to the yen go from 130 or 150 yen down to 78 yen to the dollar, that means the dollar was depreciating like a stone in a pond.
Yeah.
And all
other
countries were diminishing their currency, which guess what that does to them? It creates inflation.
Sure.
And when you look at the sum total of dollars in circulation, U.S. dollars, and you realize that 60% of those U.S. dollars are circulating outside of the United States, that means 60% of the inflation, at a minimum, is borne by those people in other countries.
Sure.
And
we're going
to promote democracy and freedom to them at the barrel of a gun.
Yeah.
And they're going to love us and throw fire at our...
The time period between... Because I traveled to Japan, and so I dealt with their currency all the time. And in 1981, it was 274. 6 years later, it was 97 yen to the dollar. That's how fast and how furious it went, bonkers. And I didn't understand it, but of course I was a kid then. I knew nothing, but
Japan has to know that their days are numbered. Do you know, if you were to go and buy a Japanese treasury bond right now, a 10-year bond, you know what the yield is on their bond? 0.7%.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, that's worse than here.
And guess who's buying
that's
them
bad
all?
Enough.
The Bank of Japan is buying them all.
Oh, God. Monetizing.
We didn't.
Oh, okay.
So, their yield can potentially go to zero. They'll still buy them all.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Did you notice last week China started paying for oil with the yuan instead of the dollar?
Well, sure. And look, they've had a long-standing deal. They've had a long-standing deal with Russia. And here's the thing that I like to ask a lot of people. There's a lot of folks out there that are well-meaning, but they don't think that there's any way for the U.S. to survive without using our military to force people to do what we want them to do. And I said, well, what about China? What about Russia? How is it that China, who has never raised an army and invaded anybody in the last 200-plus years, right? How is it that they're able to establish all these trade deals favorable to them, and they're securing all the oil resources they need without holding people at gunpoint? And you're telling me it's not possible for the U.S. to do that? Well, I believe at this point it may not be possible for us to do that because we've thoroughly pissed everybody off. We've been the bully on the block for too long.
Yes. We haven't took care of ourselves here at home. We've been too busy.
We've been too busy kicking the
nose where we belong. We've been too busy butting into everybody else's business instead of taking care of our own.
Foreign entanglement. Rotten.
We don't want to get the pain point again anyway. We go back and rebuild it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, that's another thing,
Come on.
Why
are we doing that?
I mean, they're not an enemy. It's purely political.
If we had to go to war with somebody, we wouldn't be rebuilding them. I mean, if I'm going to go to war with you and knock that, it's just like going outside and throwing snowballs in a fort. If I knock your fort down, that's it. I'm not going to go over and help you rebuild it. I'm not going to pay for it. Why are we doing it?
That's how you funnel more money. That's how you funnel more money. And a lot of this is done, you know, we hear about rebuilding. But what isn't seen, okay, what isn't seen behind the scenes on a lot of this rebuilding is that after we go in and whip the crap out of them and blow up all their infrastructure, then the United States, through the IMF and World Bank, gives them loans to rebuild all this infrastructure, but they have to hire specific contractors to do the job.
And who are those contractors? We know where they come from.
And who owns these contractors? You know, we're back to... yeah, go and read, you know, John Perkins' Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Because that's exactly what's going on. You're just recycling, you're recycling money, debt money from the U.S., and you're infusing new money, new productivity, by capturing the treasure of these other countries after you demolish them. Then you go in and rebuild their infrastructure, and now you own them.
Yep.
That's the imperialism that Ron Paul was talking about.
Sure.
James Imhoff has joined in with Ted Cruz's filibuster that Harry Reid says isn't a filibuster.
Harry Reid's a mental retard. The man should be in a straitjacket.
Harry Reid needs to borrow Mitt Romney's magic underwear and talk into him for a while.
I think they ought to put Reid and Pelosi and the rest of them into a river room. They all belong in.
About Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry is trying to work out a deal here where his state is going to be exempt from the health care law.
Oh, my God. God, he's evil. That stupid piece of garbage. Oh, my Lord.
Guys, I'd love to stay in chat, but I'm going to run. I know you guys are getting
God
close
bless,
on
Ron.
Time anyway, so... God bless you guys. Oh, thanks for letting me chime in.
It was great.
Always
great contact.
Always,
have a good night.
Always love having him on the show.
Have a good night, Ron.
All right.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
You know, it's like I said at the beginning here about this whole thing with Cruz and this. Even if it doesn't succeed, it's better that he tried than he did nothing.
And you
that
know what?
shows what kind of the people the other party is, the other people are.
I know. Oh, yeah. And do you know, did you remember the part, Bill, when he talked about all those big, like White Castle and McDonald's and all those people? And he said every single one of them told him the same thing, that this is a killer. Obamacare is a killer. It kills business. It kills positions. It kills hours. It kills incentives. It's a destroyer. And they all said in the whole room, he said every one of them said the same thing, whether they owned one store or 27 chains. That's what they told him. And I was so proud of him to stand there and say that, because it's the truth. And look at how many doctors are leaving. Look at how many thousands of doctors are leaving the profession. And they're telling their kids, don't go into medicine in the United States because it's a mess. Because of what they're doing. It's evil. And nobody gets it. But I think this is what they're doing right now.
It was never meant to cover... it wasn't meant for health care as much as it was meant to have control over stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Nobody reads that bill. I have read it several times. And I'm telling you, there is so much more in there that nobody is speaking about.
I know.
Because if they did... there would be a mad rush at Washington, D.C. You're giving up all kinds of freedoms with this bill. You're
huge.
Giving up.
Absolutely huge.
They're going to be in your homes to make sure they're going to, and they're saying it's for your health care, to make sure you're eating healthy,
to make
sure what you're teaching your kids, and they tell you what to teach your kids.
They ain't coming to my home. They ain't getting into my house. They can keep
everything,
their syringes, too.
What people are doing is tied directly to Agenda 21.
I know.
You take down that health care bill. You take down that health care bill, and you have planted a major kick in the teeth to Agenda 21.
Yes. Yes, you have.
The second thing would be to any gun confiscation bills they come up with. And
you know what else, Bill?
somehow get their economy turned into the right direction. Those three things destroy Agenda 21.
Immigration, health care bill, and Monsanto, and a few others. Believe me, it's all tied together, and Common Core, it's all tied together.
Right. It's all tied into the gun confiscation, the EPA and all the crap they're trying to pull.
Yep.
Homeland Security and them not enforcing our immigration laws and stuff and aiding and abetting in a foreign invasion.
Right.
And you might as well throw in there Eric Holder arming a foreign invasion.
It's disgusting. I know. You're preaching. I know. I get
but
it.
Every bit of it is Agenda 21. And I get frustrated
and
when people out here and they side on this issue or that issue and they don't understand that
it's all tied together. Right. And this
we are
is
fighting,
why I get.
We are fighting a global
fighting
elite
this,
agenda.
Yes. Right. And you know what, Bill? Saturday, on October 12th, I'm going down to San Diego. I've been invited to the March Against Monsanto, and they've asked me to speak and try to tie Agenda 21 to it. And I'm going to darn well try. I'm going to do my darndest. So I'm going to use all the Maurice Strong stuff, all the Ted Turner stuff, all the Club of Rome stuff, all the, you know, Blavatsky stuff. I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure out how to do it. And I'm going to explain it to them.
Well, you know, and Sandy's right. A lot of the media will ignore what's going on right now. But if you look on the net out through there, you know, Linda, there are so many sites covering this. It's just not real.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely fabulous. I can't even get it on my TV, but I got it all over my internet, man.
I don't remember when one man garnered so much attention from the media, from the internet media.
Amen. I'm excited. I love it. I'm praising him right now for what he's doing. I mean, I'm not like a deity, you know. I would never do that. But, you know, as a person.
When I saw Jeff Sessions step up there, and I saw the respect in Jeff Sessions' eyes and admiration for this man that's standing up.
Good.
Jeff Sessions knows what it's about. He's had to do it against immigration on amnesty several times.
Yes.
And
you know who else? You know who I'd like to see run, whether it's Cruz or Rand Paul on the top ticket? You know who I'd like to see for VP? Mike Lee. Mike Lee.
That's not a bad choice. That's not a bad choice.
I like him. Because he's smart. That man is brilliant. He's got a heart. And when you look at people and you listen to them speak and you can tell, you can almost tell that they're like Christian. I mean, you just know it. They're just so solid. They're solid, man. They don't waver. They get it. You know, I know that there's some things I may have disagreed with him on, but I'm sure that he'll, I don't know. Look, we can't put all our eggs in one basket, but if we've got to have some decent people, we've got to start with the right. Those three people, and forget Rubio. I don't like him at all. He's too far to the left for me.
Wait, he's got to earn his way back and realize his mistake was standing up and supporting amnesty.
Yeah, he just blew it, man.
No,
he just tore himself a new one.
Three people, Hispanic, Filipino, and others, who came here legally and have family in line who can't come because of the influx of illegals. And that just gets to me that here's these people following the laws, doing it the right way, and they can't get here because these others decided they were above the law and were encouraged by their governments. But then again, out of Texas, where out of 500 people, 350 of them weren't even Hispanic.
I know. The OTM. Oh, yeah. They're probably MDs. And,
I have screamed from 2006 about how Mexico has always allowed our enemies to cross that border.
Oh, yeah. And I know that you got about 5 minutes left. I'm going to let you guys wrap a fabulous show. You guys got started a couple minutes late, but it was fabulous. Thank you, guys, and God bless. I'll see you guys tomorrow on my show.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. God bless.
Right, guys.
Love you all.
Bye, Sean.
Hey, guys. Tie it up so I'm here.
All right. I'm going to. Thank you.
applause, everybody. Hey, you folks, some of you may know us from our YouTube video. We today we hit over 12.7 million hits. A little ditty called Press One for English. Has anybody ever seen that video out there? All right, we love that. We sure live in a great country. I'll tell you what, except for the United States' beautiful American Stars and Stripes flag, I think the state flag of Texas is probably the most recognizable. It's a beautiful republic you got here, I got to tell you. It's a beautiful place.
You know, Deborah Johns mentioned that they're trying to take our internet away, and you want to know why they want to do that, folks? Because of folks like you out here that are here because of the internet. It's a grassroots effort that the internet brought about. How many of you all want to be socialists and have the government control you? Here's another little song we have on YouTube called the USS of A, and if we don't stand up like we are right now, it could happen before we know it, folks. Get it, Ryan.
They're taking all the power up in Washington, D.C. Pretty soon they'll own us all, they'll control both you and me. We'll no longer be the United States, we'll be the USS of A. Russia came here long ago, and they laughed right in our face. They said, we'll never fire a single shot, so we'll put you in your place. We'll weaken your economy till you fall down on your knees. And the government will own you all. Now you just wait and see. We gotta stand up, wake up, look around. There's a new world order coming to your town. They're taking our freedoms away. We'll no longer have any say. We gotta stand together, one and all. Our constitution is gonna fall. We'll no longer be the United States. Will be the USS of A. They'll own us. Wake up one fine morning and discover it's too late. While we were taking government handouts, we condemned this country's fate. They want to spread the wealth around, make everyone the same. But that's not capitalism, socialism is its name. We gotta stand up, wake up, look around. There's a new world order coming to your town. They're taking our freedoms away, we'll no longer have any say. We gotta stand together, one and all. Our constitution is gonna fall, we'll no longer be the United States. Will be the USS of A. They'll own our banks, our healthcare too. They'll own our houses, they'll own our food. They'll own the cars we all will drive. They'll own every aspect of our lives. They'll own our churches, they'll own our schools. They'll own everything, so they'll make the rules. They're taking away our liberty. It's a nightmare, don't you see?
Everyone, just want to wish you a good night. God bless.
God bless. Wake up, America. Look what they're doing to your country.
Good night, everybody. God bless y'all. I hope somebody will listen. If you don't, it's going to be too late.
And we'll join us next week right here, same time, same bat channel.
In the bat cave.
For Hoot and Holler.
We're out.
All country boys telling it like it is.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.